We're going to have some things in the Word of God today that will change everything.
Desire to break free from the bondage of depression or self-deception? Then don't miss today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Billy Rash. Find out how to be delivered and start enjoying every day of your life.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we're going to have some things in the Word of God today that will change everything. And when I'm talking about changing everything, when you do what God said do, you say what God said say, and you think what God said think, and you act the way God said act, you know what you're doing? You're thinking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus. You get His results.
Amen.
Because He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Then He proceeded to tell us how to do that, how to receive that, and promised us that He would reveal Himself to us. I'm thinking about 14th chapter of John, where He said, He that has my commandments and does them, he it is that loves me, and my Father will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, wow. That's what we're after, Billy, is Jesus to manifest Himself to us. I'm not talking about just come in a bodily form and stand there and talk to you for an hour and a half. Now, that'd be a wonderful thing, but that's not what He was talking about. He's talking about manifesting Himself in healing, manifesting Himself in prosperity, manifesting Himself in the blessing of Abraham, because the Word said Jesus came to bless you. Father, we thank you. We receive these things in the name of Jesus, and we commit ourselves to your Word. What we hear you say, that's what we say. What we see in your Word, that's what we do. And we cling to it with all of our spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Billy, let's talk again about, let's go back to these scriptures we read yesterday, because this is so vitally important. We need to realize it is not Satan that deceives us in reality. Now, Satan is the deceiver. He provides the deception, but it's us that deceive ourselves by listening to him.
Yeah, it's the most powerful deception that exists is self-deception, because you believe yourself. If the devil came up and tried to deceive, you will fight the devil. You'll resist. But when you deceive yourself, you have to convince yourself that it's true and therein is a deception.
And you do it a little bit at a time.
Progression.
I had somebody tell me one time that, and I didn't believe it when I heard it, you'll believe yourself over and above anybody. And I thought, why? No, and then he went ahead to say, somebody comes up and says, you can do this, and you stand there and say, no, I can't. Well, you believe yourself, you've taken that unbelief to the point you're following your feelings, you're following something other than the Word of God. There's been times when different men of God, I've heard them preach and stir me up, and I catch myself wanting to get angry at that. Well, you better check that out, because you're getting stirred up over something that you need to go back and let the Word of God stir you up in the right way. And you go back in there and say, that's what it says. I believe it. I receive it. And I say it. The moment you say it with your mouth, all of that other junk just flies out of there like a bird out the door. I mean, it's just amazing. How quick you can break self-deception, that's what depression is. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. What are you talking about? Jesus, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You were part of that world. God so loves you, He's given you everything. Yeah, but I just feel like...
I just feel like.
Let's read the scripture concerning Jude, chapter 1, verse 11. Woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now, let's back up here to 2 Peter. And the second chapter, verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings.
There's the key.
Their own deceivings. Well, they deceive themselves first. And the thing about, Billy, here's the problem with that. If you've got two men here that have set themselves to argue over something in the Bible. Well, they both think they're right. That's the reason they're so hard to handle. Both of them think they're right. They'll fight you over, and both of them fussing over tradition, and most likely both of them are wrong. The Word is the only thing that is always right.
Always.
Always right. It is always first place, final authority. Now look at this in the book of James. James 1:22, wherefore lay, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness, or humble yourself before the Word. Receive it. Humble yourself to it. The Word is right. The engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. Billy, that's not talking about the new birth. That's talking about the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. This is centering primarily on the soulish part of man in the carnal mind. Now notice this. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You have to go to the Word. You have to humble yourself before this is right. And whatever it says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do it the way I would like to do it. I'm not going to alter the Word to fit my feelings and lifestyle. I'm going to change my feelings and lifestyle to fit the Word.
But somebody that does that, though, because of self-deception, they believe they're right. They'll fight you over it because
it creeps up in their over period.
They believe, they have convinced themselves, self-deceived, that this, I believe, the way of Cain that we read in Jude, Cain convinced himself that this, God will accept this. I mean, it's almost like you can almost hear him saying, well, yeah, it's not the first fruit. It's maybe the end of the times, the end of the harvest, it's the last thing offered. But, you know, look, I'm here. I'm making an offering to God. I'm worshiping. So God will be pleased. He'll be happy. I brought something. I didn't just stay home.
He understands I needed that.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted the good fruit, too. Mm-hmm. And so he self-deceives. That's why he got angry, because he didn't take the Word. But it's the same thing that people do today. They'll pray and say, God, I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me. They turn your broadcast on, they go to church, they hear the message, and the message is not what they wanted to hear, but it is the message that God wanted them to hear to answer their prayer. But they get angry. They'd have to break that self-deception. It's like you said, it can be broke. That's what everything's about, is breaking the cycle of self-deception. If they would have heard the Word. See, people that don't know the Word, as you've taught us, Their ignorance is why they do what they do. But this is not talking about people that are ignorant.
No, no.
This is talking about people that have heard the word, depart from it, like this man in Jeremiah, and now they've deceived themselves into thinking it's okay. And what happens is they redefine that word. They just make it say something it doesn't say to fit their feelings or situation. And they love that tradition more than they do the word, because you bring them the word, they get angry like Cain did. And it's a self-deception cycle, progression, steal, kill, destroy, that has to get broken in people's lives. Has to. And that's the whole thing you're talking about here. That's why I thank God. I look back in what you taught us, that you've taught all these years. Take Romans 13 and 8. Oh, no man anything but love.
Oh, man.
And you and Gloria's testimony is so wonderful on that.
But you
there
have,
was. You, it didn't say anything
were,
different.
There were people that would have loved. Every time when you mention, I just, a lot of things crossed my mind, a lot of pictures in my mind and so forth, of Jesus being taken out behind, they're going to throw him off the cliff. Well, I preached to some of their kinfolks, brother. And when they got into that one, oh, I had people that were, I'm not talking about mean, bad people. I'm talking about people that got mad at me the way Cain got mad at God, but he took it out on Abel.
Yes.
He killed him for it. I've had people that love me, good friends of mine, got mad and got right up in my face and went to hollering in a restaurant, just hollering out loud, telling me why I was wrong about that. And I'm sitting there just getting beat up all over the place, you know. And I finally stopped. I said, I called him by his name. I said, hey, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. I just heard you. Blah, blah, blah. You know, just, yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. He's screaming at me. I said, no, I didn't. Romans, the 13th chapter, said that.
I was sitting at a restaurant.
Ah, blah, 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 blah. But after he stuttered two or three times, he jumped on me again. It didn't make any difference that Romans 13 said it.
I was sitting at a restaurant. I had driven you there, a major minister, don't want to go into the who or whatever, and you we were talking about this. I was listening, and you and him was talking about the same thing. And he got angry right there in the restaurant and just started in on leasing versus purchasing and just was going on about that and got angry. And then I tried to figure, well, how do we take that out on our brother? Well, when a person takes, contrary to the scripture, like Romans 13 and 8, and teaches as God's representative, something else that fits their definition. Mm-hmm. That's how you've not cared for your fellow man. If we as ministers actually care for our fellow man, our opinions and what we think don't matter at all. What does it say? And that's all you did is you stood on Romans 13.
First time I read that, I was the same way. What am I going to do now? Well, because it hadn't been but a matter of months before that Gloria and I took communion to the fact and stood before God and committed ourselves. Whatever we see in your word, and we see what it's saying to us, then we will change our way of thinking, we change our way of speaking, we change our conduct to fit that word. We don't excuse it, we don't try to change the word to fit our conduct. And one of the first things I tried to do was excuse borrowing with leasing, which was just a different word for borrowing money. But I didn't have any concept of how does this thing work? I realized really quick, I need to find out every scripture I can find in this book that has to do with borrowing, has to do with lending, has anything to say about it. And my goodness gracious, I began to find things that I didn't know was in the book. Well, think of that. There was something in there I didn't know. And like somebody came up to Gloria that time and said, why, I just... I just don't know how you could do that. And Gloria said, that's your problem. You don't know enough. That was my problem. I didn't know enough.
But good people that loved you in the ministry got angry with you.
Oh, they did.
And a lot of us that were honored to serve around you, we knew it was the word because it's there. The borrower is subject to the lender. They'll tell you that scripture is there. Well, then to owe no man anything but to love them is an answer to that then. You're not the borrower. But they'll argue for one or the other. They become so self-deceived. They'll argue one part of the word but not another, and it starts choking it off. But with some of us that were there, we're thinking like you were thinking, well, it's Bible. And Brother Copeland's anointed, it's there. It's in the Bible. It isn't because Brother Copeland said it. It's because he's saying what the Bible said. Yeah. But you and Gloria lived it. You've lived it. I've watched it. I've been honored to watch it. You lived it. But most people didn't want to make the choice to live it.
Well, you get pressure.
In the Babylon system
that you're talking about. I actually believe that God told me to do this. And I actually believe with all my heart that I can't do this without that. And so how am I going to get that? Well, I don't know. Thing costs $50,000. How am I ever going to get $50,000? I'm thinking this one day. I'm driving down the road, and I stopped at this signal light, and I just said out loud, Lord, I don't know how to get that money. Man, he hollered at me just as loud as I hollered at him, only it come up on the inside of me. Yes, you do. I was sitting at this signal light. I just dropped my head over on the steering wheel, and I said, how? Before I got the word how out of my mouth, it came up on the inside of me, give and it'll be given unto you again. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. I thought, I do know. That's the law of the kingdom. I do know. You love people. Later on, I'm in a meeting. And I'm stumped with something else that God had told me to do. It was just a huge mountain of finance that had to come in for me to do it. Well, God knows that. He didn't intend me to get this done in a day. So I'm lying across the bed in my hotel room between services. And I'm just lying across there, and this thing is so big on me, and I want to obey God. I said, God, I know. I want to do what you've commanded me to do. Oh, God, how do you receive that kind of money? Well, it rose up in me again. I got quiet there for a few moments, and I heard this. Kenneth, don't seek ways to get the money in. Seek me for ways to get the word out. I'll see to it that the money comes in. Duh. What's happening? I'm learning how to live in His presence, in His Word, using the laws of the kingdom so that all these things will be added to me instead of going through the Babylonian system to get the things to meet my needs. Now, here's something, Billy, out of that that's so vitally important that changed my whole way of life. I thought for years and years and years that God gave me things to meet my needs because the Word says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thought that's what things were for, was to supply my needs. But then I found that when the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, his spiritual son, and says, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. He doesn't give me things because I need them. He doesn't have my need on His mind because He's already fixed my needs. He gives me the things because He knows I'll enjoy them. And they do meet the need. But His whole idea was for me to enjoy life. to have life and enjoy it more abundantly. But our traditions got off that, not having any idea that God wanted you to ever enjoy anything. After all, if you enjoy something, it'll ruin you. Well, the scripture says money ruins a fool. Then it goes ahead to say what a fool is, so don't be one.
But it's, you just described Mark 4, seed time and harvest. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand anything else. And that is seed time, harvest. God said, I'll meet your need. How? Give. And it's given back unto you. Everything is seed time and harvest. Genesis 8:22. Everything in the earth
is as if a man put seed in the ground.
So the first thing that Adam was supposed to do, that Cain and Abel were supposed to do, was to bring, and in Second Corinthians or First Corinthians, God said, I'll supply seed to the sower. So
yeah, 2 Corinthians 9.
Adam had seed to sow. Cain had seed to sow, but he ate his seed.
He
gave him what was left.
He did, man.
Nubs.
He didn't. And he gave God the cow.
And expected God to bless it. And that's what people do. Well, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to tithe. They're eating their seed. Because everything in the kingdom is seed time and harvest. And what is harvest? Fruitful. A part of the blessing.
Well, why does God give you food? Just something to eat? No, He made it all enjoyable. Amen.
Amen.
The stuff that gets you in trouble is when you start altering that food because you like the way it tastes and it starts hurting your health. If you go back to the way God created this thing and eat according to what He said to eat, don't eat what He said don't eat. I mean, that you don't have to be too smart to figure that out. Then you will begin to enjoy life. Because you're a whole lot more, hell, you have a whole lot less need for healing
exactly.
than you did before. Well,
see, now you're touching their money and their debt. And now
and
you're touching their food and their fat.
Well, so what? They're mad at you and me right now. You're not either. Don't you dare do that. Billy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Attitude. Mindset, action, success. It all takes a decision to learn God's plan, His way of thinking, and make the commitment to change your life. Set yourself up for victory with the Think Different, Live Different package. The Way of Cain by Dr. Billy Rash shines light on the dark path of self-deception and presents biblical solutions that will set you free to live a successful life. Break through your old way of thinking and learn to identify God's ways. Also included in this package is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last, the Daily Devotions, Scripture Cards, Scriptures on CD, Worship Music, and a Teaching DVD are all designed to help guide you step by step into a blessed life. Don't let the blessing pass you by. Know God's ways for your attitudes, actions, and decisions. Choose to think, act, and live differently today. Order the Think Different, Live Different package today at a special 35% savings. For just $22, you'll receive the new book by Billy Rash, The Way of Cain, and the Lifeline Kit from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Building Relationships That Last. For additional product discounts and 48-hour processing, order online. Get out of the curse and into the way of the blessing. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to our website.
You're beginning to see now, I know, why this new book of Billy's, The Way of Cain, Breaking the Cycle of Self-Deception, you're beginning to see why this book's so important. Because you'll catch yourself doing and saying things and you'll think, oh man, that ain't what the Word says. Or you'd be just reading your chapter every day and you come across something and it'll catch your attention. You need to know and understand these things and have this book so well read and know right where it is that you and your whole family know what to do when you do catch yourself at it. You don't just start condemning yourself. That's a deception of its own. So do whatever you have to do to get this package. The other part of it is your 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that lasts. So get your hands on this material. Amen. Today starts the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign Thursday through Saturday night, the 10th through the 12th, in Woodbridge, Virginia. Billy, we've had some of those powerful meetings. And that meeting has been very conducive to the manifestation of the anointing of the prophet. And there's been a lot of different reasons and for it and so forth, but I've noticed this over the years, that prophetic utterance is really powerful there. And so if you can be there, be there. But you believe God with us. Stand in the Word of God, because my, what a time to preach the Word in Washington, D.C., man. This is it. This is one of the most pivotal moments. This is as pivotal as the Civil War in the history of the United States. We're sitting right on top of this thing, and it's going to go for God. You wait and see what I tell you. Praise God. Thank you, Billy. I enjoyed this today, man. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Kenneth Copeland and Billy Rash reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the 8th through 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California, with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. The European Victory Campaign. Celebrate 30 years in Europe with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, May 10th through 12th at the Excel Center in London, UK. Living Victory Pacific Rim Faith Encounter, June 15th and 16th with Kenneth Copeland. Hosted by Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher at Word of Life Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same: God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read Word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today, The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
God doesn't answer prayers because you are just so richly overrun with self-debasement. No, He answers prayers because He loves you, man.